My name is Amy Russell. I'm interviewing Myra Smith at Spring Garden School on the subject of education, the transition from integration till today. Okay, if we could start off with a little information about where you were born.
I was born in Gadsden, Alabama, and lived in various parts of North Alabama, Gadsden and Boaz, until the age of five, at which time my family, my parents having been divorced when I was a year old, my mother and stepfather and younger sister moved to a small town in southwest Michigan called Niles, Michigan. And we lived there off and on until I was in the eighth grade. So I started my early schooling in kindergarten in 1949 in Michigan, even required kindergarten even then. And I started kindergarten and went through the eighth grade until when we moved back to Alabama on a permanent basis. For a couple of years in between there, I went to school in Alabama for half the second half of the third grade and all of seventh grade. But other than that, I went to school in Michigan, and I went to integrated schools in Michigan, and lived in a community that included many nationalities, many races. In fact, some of my neighborhood friends and children I played with were black children, and black church was right across the street from my home. What else do you need?
Was it a, not a culture shock, but was it different when you moved back to Alabama from Michigan after living up there and being around? Was the racial tension worse?
Well, because my grandparents and a lot of our other relatives, in fact, my father always lived in Alabama, and so I came back to Alabama periodically. Mm-hmm. I usually spent summers with him, and then I would go back to Michigan to live with my mother and go to school during the winters. So I was always going back and forth between one culture and one area and another. And I guess being just a child, I really didn't ever pay a lot of attention to it, because living in Michigan and having gone to school with black children, I just accepted that as the usual thing that you did. But we did not have a great number of black children in our schools. For example, in a class of 30 students, 3 or 4 might be black. But it was always predominantly white with a few black students with us.
Did you grow up in a prejudiced environment?
Probably, yes. I grew up with parents who were born and raised in Alabama, and they had the typical Alabama attitude. But because we did live and work, they lived and worked in Michigan, they had to work with black people alongside them. And so they probably were not as prejudiced as people who never left the South at all. Mm-hmm. But they carried their Southern prejudices with them, of course. And then, of course, my father had never lived anywhere but Alabama. But I wouldn't say that our family was prejudiced to any great extent. I never heard my parents or any of my relatives make derogatory comments about black people. They were just accepted as people, and it was kind of the accepted thing that you didn't socialize with them and you didn't go to church with them, but there was no great deal of,
no hostility
and no, sense of superiority other than, I guess, what you kind of grow up with in the South when you grew up in a totally integrated environment. But no, I was always taught, I think, by my parents to look upon people as and judge them by what kind of person they were. I was never, taught to hate someone or to dislike someone or to be disrespectful simply because they were of a different race or color or religion or anything.
Did you have a deep religious background?
We didn't go to church with any great regularity. Our family was probably more one that I was sent to church or taken Sunday school and the parent, and then my parents went back home.
Baptist.
We were Baptist. I was Baptist. And when I was young, before we moved to Michigan, we lived next door to one of the Baptist churches in Boaz. And I always went to church. My mother said, my mother tells me that as a child, that was one of my favorite things too. I love to go to church. And I would go often go to church when nobody else in the family would go. But I don't remember. And when we lived in Michigan, I was always active in the Baptist Church of Player, in the youth group and all. In fact, I met my first boyfriend at a vacation Bible school. He fell in love with my long curls, he said. And his family was very church-oriented. And I guess of all the family members, I went to church more than any of the rest of them. I don't know why. And then I ended up dating a young man who felt called to the ministry after we started dating. And then I married him, and my husband has been a minister all of our married life. In fact, he just retired from the active pastorate last Sunday. And he's now just going to do interim and pulpit supply.
Okay, you used the term a little ago, that Alabama attitude, talking about, you know, the racial tension and stuff. How would you define that, the Alabama attitude?
It's just the typical Southern attitude of in the days before integration, when we had two totally separate societies to a great extent. Like I said, there are a lot of things that I don't remember about my childhood in Alabama because I was 5 when we moved to Michigan, but as I did come back and visit and spend the summers here, and I can still very plainly in my own mind see the old Sears store in Gadsden, Alabama, with the drinking fountains downstairs. And there was one that said white above it, and there was one that said colored above it. And I, childlike, always wondered, well, does the water taste different in one than it does the other? And I remember restrooms, you know, being marked colored and white. And I remember instances of things like that that I would encounter in the South that I didn't encounter in the North. But I never attributed a lot of significance to it because, as I said, my family was never one that was they weren't politically oriented. I don't know that my mother might have to count on one hand the number of times she'd ever voted in an election. My father voted much more frequently because he was a steel worker, and I think he was involved more because of union politics than anything else. But we were never a family that was the news and politics and those kind of things never played big roles in our family. And so if there was a lot of discussion and things going on about it, I was unaware of it until I became high school age when, you know, I began to read newspapers and to listen to news broadcasts.
Okay, getting back to a little bit of the background, where did you graduate from?
I graduated from Boaz High School in Boaz, Alabama, and of course Sand Mountain, even today probably, has a less diversity of races than any other area of Alabama.
Okay, and where did you go to college?
I married immediately after I graduated from high school. We moved to Birmingham. My husband finished college there. He'd had 2 years of college, and then we moved back to Center Alabama. And he pastored the church, in fact, that he just retired from. We pastored there 5 years before we went to seminary. But when he had finished college, so he taught school at that time. Mm-hmm. You didn't even have to have a teaching certificate. He had a degree in religion and history. And he taught and was principal of a school without an education degree for 5 years. But while he did that, I went to Jackson State University and got my undergraduate degree in secondary education with a major in English and history.
Do you know what point in your life you decided you wanted to be a teacher, or is it something you always wanted to do?
All of my life. In fact, I had to write a thing one time about when I became a teacher, and I said, well, I felt it was a calling. My husband had a calling to the ministry, and I always felt I had a calling to teaching. And I never wanted to do anything else. My mother and all of my family still says they were called. I was the oldest of a group of cousins who lived in Michigan. My mother lived up there, and two of her sisters and their husbands, and one of her brothers and his family. So there was always we had a close family that lived in that little small town. And our social activities revolved around family, of course. But of all the cousins, all of us were girls. We had one boy. And bless his heart, he got lost in the middle of all of us. But of all the other, I was the oldest of all the children. Mm-hmm. And I would make them play school. Mm-hmm. And I was always the teacher.
I loved it.
And there was never any question. I was the teacher. Mm-hmm. And I don't recall ever wanting to be anything else. My intention was always to be a teacher.
My grandma brought me a chalkboard, and I had all the old books. Like at the end of the year, when teachers would give the books away, I'd just load up with them, take them home.
That was me. I had all
grade book made out.
That's right. I did all that too.
I did this sometime I was in fifth grade. I did this every afternoon after school.
My two younger sisters and the cousins, they all still. When we get together, we talk about how I was always the teacher. But of that group of cousins, let's say that myself and my two sisters were three, and then four, five, six, seven. There were about eight girls and the one boy. And of that group, four of us are teachers. I'm a teacher, my middle sister is a teacher, and two of the cousins are teachers. So... I guess they decided they wanted to be a teacher for a while. I guess it's time to me being the teacher.
Okay, where did you acquire your first teaching position?
The first teaching position I had was here in Cherokee County, where I teach right now. As I said, I went to school after I was married. I didn't even start college until I was 21 years old. And I went to Jacksonville, and I went summers and all. And when in 68, I became pregnant with my first child. And I did my practice teaching at Piedmont High School during the first part of my pregnancy. And so the second semester of that year of 68, I did my practice teaching the first at the end of 68, in November through December. And then I took that next semester off, and my first daughter was born in April of 69. And I went back to school in the fall and finished up my degree. And I graduated from Jacksonville in January of 70 on a Friday night, and on Monday morning I went into a school in Cherokee County teaching a TMR class, the first TMR class that Cherokee County ever had. Trainable mentally retarded. Not educable, but trainable mentally retarded. They had never had a TMR class in Cherokee County. They had one or two EMR classes, but there was no school available for the TMRs. And one of the ladies in the county who owned a grocery store right across the street from the Center Elementary School, Miss B.T. Day, her grandson was a Down syndrome child. Todd Day was his name. And he was the son of her son. And he would spend a lot of time in the grocery store with his grandparents, and he would sit up on the Coca-Cola box and look across the street at the school and cry because he couldn't go to school because there was no school available. Well, being a typical grandmother, Miss D, D Davis, we've always called her Miss D Day. She passed on now, but everybody in the center knew Miss D Day and loved her. She always ran, they ran the grocery store there across the street from the elementary school. So she made it her project to get a teaching unit for Cherokee County. Governor Albert Brewer was governor at the time in Alabama, and she personally contacted Governor Brewer. She mounted a personal campaign, and she got a TMR unit approved for Cherokee County. But at that time, special education, you couldn't find teachers in any field almost. There was a shortage of teachers in every area. And so she, because they could not find a special education teacher, and they had the money for the unit, and it was available, they asked me if I would teach it until they could get a special education teacher. And so I agreed to do that. And so at the old Livingston School, which is torn down now, it was just a junior, went through elementary through junior high school. And my husband was the principal of it. He didn't have a certificate either. Mr. Chandler, who used to be principal here at Spring Garden, had been the principal there, and my husband taught for him. And then when Mr. Chandler came to Spring Garden as the principal, my husband became the principal at Livingston. And so I went to teach there. They had built a special room there. They'd taken two regular-sized rooms and put them together. carpeted the floors, put in a specially handicapped restroom, and I had 7 students and a full-time aide, Miss Clemency Baker, the mother of Steve Baker, who teaches here now. She was my full-time aide, and her son, David, who is a cerebral palsy child, was one of the students, and Todd Davis was one of the students, and I had a little boy named, a little Goza boy from up on the mountain, he was one of the students, and then we had a child who now we know was autistic. At that time, they did not even know what autism was. And the little Stallings boy, he was, there were 7 children altogether. And 3 or 4 of them's parents brought them, but I went around the center and picked the rest of them up in my private car and went down to Livingston, and we had school. I had to order all the supplies, and I had, my husband gave me a catalog and said, here, you've got to spend so many $100 on toys and equipment. So I had to go with just what I had learned in my education classes that would stimulate mental development. And Sesame Street had just started on television. It was a brand new thing. And we had a TV. We were probably one of the few first classrooms in the county to have a TV of our own. But we watched Sesame Street every day in that class. And, of course, most of the skills we tried to teach them were socialization skills and to use the restroom by themselves. And